I think there's so much at stake.
Yeah.
And I just really pray that the Lord have his way and that our nation will have another opportunity and we will repent and return to God. You know, I used to teach a lot of history in our school, and to see how the nation was founded upon the precepts of the scripture, and as the founding fathers made Christianity and the Bible the basis for the morality of the threefold government, of the Senate, of the House, of the Supreme Court, and of the executive. And that the reason they had that balance was because they saw sin in man. And when you go back and read the founders, it isn't that they were such super Christians. It's that they did have a biblical base.
Right.
This country was founded upon biblical truth. And I think we need to either restore it or we're in for some real problems in the future.
Amen.
But so be it.
Amen.
Anybody have anything you want to say about the election or anything you want to say? Please feel free.
I'd like to come. Go ahead.
Is Barbara going to be able to vote if she comes home?
Is Barbara what?
Going to be able to vote.
I don't know. I went and did a mail-in ballot, and I'm going to have one for her. I don't know. She can't sign her name.
You can sign an X on those things.
Yeah, power of attorney.
What?
We'll try to find a way.
Power of attorney. Do you have power of attorney?
Yes, I do.
You can sign it for her. There is a way of doing it and get it witnessed. Just read it. Read the instructions very carefully.
I'll do it. Thank you.
That's right.
I will do that.
And she can sign it with an X.
Yeah, but he has to still fill it out differently.
Yeah, okay.
I was mentioning last evening, we had our great-granddaughter. And so during that confirmation for ACB, I believe they're calling her now, we had our granddaughter, 9-year-old, watch that and say, when you're in high school, I said, you're looking at something that's historical. In high school, you will read about this. And so we made a big deal about it. And what is so sad is mom and dad came and they didn't have any idea that was even going on. Oh. And so many times that's what's happening with young people. They are just involved but have no idea what.
Yeah. They're just totally disconnected from the political, what's going on in the world.
It just breaks your heart.
Yeah.
Well, the blessing is that you can fix ignorance, but you can't fix stupid.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's right. Can I quote you on that?
I thought that was a quote from John Wayne.
I think you're right.
It has to do with certain Democrats I know.
And it says something like, life is tough. It's tougher if you're stupid.
Yes, that's exactly right. Well, anyway, God bless you. And I want to do something that I've done for 50 years, and I've done it with you on several occasions, and I still have not had a response, so I'm going to do that again in just a moment. But last week, I talked a little bit about the problems that we're facing in terms of the homosexuality and the abortion issue, and I hope that wasn't just redundant. Let me tell you, it's what's on the ballot today, this election.
Amen.
And it's just vitally important. I think of people talking about the abortion issue and saying it's a woman's right. And I want to say, no, wait a minute. If I understand sexuality, you have to have sexual intercourse. Oh, maybe if you exercise some discipline, man and woman in that area,
yes,
that might help a bit too.
Amen.
I don't know of anybody except the Virgin Mary that was conceived by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the whole moral issue is just absolutely washed away
right.
in this thing. It just, it's amazing to me.
Did anybody see a beautiful black lady on Fox News last night?
Yeah.
She said it very well.
Yeah.
She brought up Sanger's background and Margaret Sanger.
Yeah.
And she being a black woman was saying, we just have to tell the black people that they have been taken advantage of for so many years by those that would try to control them. And she was going through the number of abortions and so on.
And the disproportionate among blacks.
Yeah, about four times more blacks than whites.
That was Candace Owens.
Yeah.
Yes. By the way, when you mention that, Buck, one of the things that I find many Christians are absolutely ignorant of the source of Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger.
Right.
She was a racist. She wanted to do away totally with the blacks. She felt that they were subhuman, and she set about to do that. And I've looked at people, believers, they say, oh, come on, that isn't what Planned Parenthood is. They've been deceived.
Yeah, right, right.
And let me tell you, it's demonic, that whole basis.
Well, the thing about it is, now, I gripe about social media being liberal and all that, but one thing you can do with it, if you take the time to look at read the website for Joe Biden, and then read, there is available information on Margaret Sanger on the web. You can actually find some of this garbage.
Yeah.
Right.
It really is something.
Yeah.
Yes, Al, did you start to say something? I missed you.
No, I just heard the same thing, you know, and it was 1,000 black babies a day.
Oh. Yeah. Doesn't that break your heart?
Yeah.
You know, thou shalt not kill.
Right.
And they'll use every other word. We're trying to protect the woman's rights. Oh, well, I'm not going to go there. You know what. Right. Anyway, I just pray that somehow by the Holy Spirit that this nation repents. Right. First of all, what it did in the Supreme Court in 61 when it kicked God out of the schools and out of our confessions.
Right.
You know, I just...
Yeah.
And then the abortion issue, and then other Supreme Court decisions that when you go back and study them, you wonder, how did this immoral basis come in?
Right.
And it came in very subtly.
Yeah, it did.
Very subtly. But anyway, hallelujah and glory to God.
Yeah.
And here is what I've done for over 50, almost 60 years. And when I was doing many, many small groups all over the state and the city, et cetera, many of the people that came to the Lord or got filled with the Spirit, et cetera, would want to come and form a church. And I resisted it for about 10 years. I would send them down to First Methodist or First Baptist. There were a couple of Pentecostal churches, some others. We would send them. People too, because we knew they were going to hear the word of God and worship. But there was always a group of about 50 or 60 that wouldn't go anywhere. And so we would meet on Saturday night in my home. And every time we got together, I said, there's got to be a way for these people to enter in. Something's wrong. At least I felt so. And I've mentioned this before. So again, this is about 50 years ago. I said, all right, I will meet, and we can meet, and if God wants us to form a fellowship, we'll do it on this one principle. In 1 Corinthians, it says, when you come together, each one has. Now, if that is something that you will give yourselves to be responsible before God, to share with the body of Christ what each of you has received, then I'm willing to go ahead and be a pastor, even whatever. I don't even know what that is. And everybody said, oh, that's a great idea, Tom. Wonderful idea. And I said, all right, we're going to start next Saturday night. And everybody said, oh, that's great. We will do it. So next Saturday night comes, and I greet them just like I'm greeting you. And I said, all right, we've all agreed together. When you come together, each one has. That means in the last 7 days, in your devotional life, in your spiritual life, in your relationships, in your family, that God has spoken to you. And I don't care if it's one word or one sentence. Now, who will begin? And the silence was deafening. Absolutely deafening.
I was there. I agree with you.
And I sat there and I had determined beforehand. I said, Lord, I don't know if this is going to work or if this is, I'm trying to contrive something or some, but I'm going to wait 10 minutes. And I tried as hard as I could to wait 10 minutes. And every minute I would say, does anyone have a quiet? Quiet. At the end of 10 minutes, I said, well, good night. I'm going to bed. And the people got upset with me and felt I was being so narrow-minded and judgmental. And I said, well, look, each of you is a born-again believer. I look across these pictures here. I know most of your stories. I know what some of you have been through. I know the miracles God has done, the things he has taught you, the price that you have paid for following Jesus in your family and marriage, in your friendships, in your church life, in your business life, in life itself, that God has spoken to you. I don't know why we're so hesitant to share it. I somehow think that the enemy demeans what you have received and you've believed him. Forgive me if that sounds critical, but I look at your faces and I know some of your stories and I want you to tell your story. You brothers and sisters are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. When you pray each day and you have communion with God, God speaks to you. I want to hear, because I believe that we need to receive our spiritual mail, and it's not being delivered. If the only deliverer is someone like me or some pastor or teacher, and I'm not opposed to that, I believe we can do things like that. I have no problem with that. But when it falls constantly on one or two people, I think the church doesn't grow.
Yeah.
My dear sisters, my dear brothers.
Okay.
When we come together.
All right.
Each of you has.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Now, one at a time.
I'll start.
Thank you.
Okay. Sunday, you know, Franklin Graham asked us to take a day of prayer and fasting.
Yes.
For the country. So I did that, and on Sunday, this is what I was doing. The Lord led me to Daniel chapter 9.
Good, but read it for us.
Now, Daniel chapter 9 is the chapter where Daniel prays for Israel. He's just found out 70 years is all that's required. And then the angel's going to come later and give him the final seven-year plan, you know?
Yes.
In 925. But this is from the Amplified Bible. This is sort of a summary of verses 4 to 19. And this is what the Lord led me to pray for our nation. Forgive us, O Lord. Be merciful to us. We have sinned and committed wrong and have behaved wickedly and have rebelled, turning away from your commandments and ordinances. We have not heeded your prophetic voices. Our leaders have turned deaf ears to you. We have sinned against you. We have not wholeheartedly begged for forgiveness and sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our wickedness and paying attention to and placing value on your truth. We have not obeyed your voice. Then I inserted my own thought there. Look upon the Antichrist things in our nation, the sin and evil among us, and the problems we face because of that. Then from verse 18, I come before you because of your great mercy and compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. do not delay for your own sake. Oh my God, because your people are called by your name and what began as your nation. I added that last part.
And then
surprisingly, I fell asleep. And when I had a dream, and as I awakened from that dream, this is what I saw and heard from the Lord. The eagle will return to its nest.
Wow.
Wow. Help me.
Wow.
Help interpret that for me.
Well, the only answer is America's got another chance. God's letting us repent.
That's kind of what I thought.
You know, another thing, Al, as you read that, one of the things that I thought was so important about Daniel, and others of you probably have reflected on this, if there was somebody who in one sense was not guilty, it was Daniel.
Yeah, right.
He includes himself.
Right, right.
I love that. Talk about the humility of a godly man.
Right, yeah. Right.
Moses
so we have to include ourselves. Yes, go ahead, Ellen.
Moses always prayed that way too. Who? Included himself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Moses.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Has anybody read the Harbinger 2?
Yeah.
He talks about the eagle in there as well.
How does he speak of it?
Yeah.
As being a sign or an emblem.
Is it a sign of America, Buck, in the book?
It was when they were talking about the eagle would swoop down on its prey.
Right.
Yes.
That was what was interpreted for the 9/11.
Right.
As well as what's coming next.
I didn't know that.
And that I haven't gotten far enough in the book to find out what happens next. But what he said was that part of the prophecy is the eagle, the word for what they, the Hebrew word that they were talking about was not only the eagle, but the eagle as it swoops down on its prey.
Uh-huh.
And that we have a point of prayer there that we're going to have to really enter into, not only repent, but pray.
Amen.
In line with that, something yesterday that appeared on my Facebook, actually, that I thought was absolutely gorgeous. It showed a picture of a tree. In the tree, side by side, were an eagle and a red cardinal. And I just thought, there is a coming together. But that may mean nothing. But the two things just really struck me.
Well, I don't think that's just by chance. Those are the kinds of things that we devalue.
Right.
I think God was speaking to you in that. And as you speak it to me, I get a witness down here.
Yeah. I did.
Yes, and what Al was sharing, I get a witness down here. I need to hear this.
Yeah. I have something else.
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
This is also from Sunday. And so I was talking to the Lord, and I told him this. I said, you know, the Abrahamic Accords have now brought Egypt and Jordan from before, but now UAE, Bahrain, Sudan, Kosovo, and Serbia to a peace treaty with Israel. And that's all because of Trump and his son and his attorney. And because I believe now is the time of Daniel 9:24, which talks about that treaty.
Amen.
This treaty or covenant needs to be expanded to include other Arab nations, include Saudi Arabia, so that the agreement allows the Temple Mount to begin to build the third temple by the Jews to begin the 7 years. So it seems to me that Trump needs to be in office to make that happen. I wouldn't look to Biden and the Democrats to support that kind of peace treaty. No. They're pretty much anti-Israel. And so unless Trump can accomplish that and get the third temple started before January 20th of next year, he's going to have to be here after that time. So I said, Lord, that's a solid biblical reason for you to keep him in office. You must keep him, and the ruler is going the way it is. So Israel is more important than the USA in Bible plan and purpose. So I prayed and asked and sought and knocked that his God's plan and provision for Israel would be completed, and that he would keep Trump in office to get that peace treaty through, to get those 7 years started and to rebuild that temple. And that's basically what led me to Daniel, because that's what Daniel was praying for.
That's right. I recall
God
that.
Would fulfill the prophetic word that he had said. They're going to rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the temple. Daniel said there's going to be that temple built. There's going to be that 7 years. And I believe we're at that time right now. And I believe that Trump needs to be in office for that to happen.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Al.
So
that's my, and then I'm just thinking about the cardinal and the eagle. I'm serious.
Yes.
Things don't happen by chance to believers. And that's what the enemy wants to come and just says, oh, dismiss that. That's just silly. Yeah. I can remember Bob Mumford, an old friend of mine. He was driving down a city in Philadelphia. It was the city. And he said, Lord, I don't know what it is you're trying to say to me. And he said, I turned my head and I saw a movie marquee with a movie announced on it. And he said, God said, that's what I want you to preach on. And he said, you can't speak. And then he realized halfway through the sentence, what do I mean? You can't speak through a movie marquee. Let me tell you, God can speak in through anyone he says. I've had my children speak to me. I've had brothers and sisters. I've had unbelievers speak to me. When you're tuned into God, he can speak through anything. He's Lord of all,
right.
King of kings, and he wants to speak to his people. So, Jane, is there any other little thing
one
that
other
you
thing
have? Yeah.
Share that God has had me looking at, and I've been rereading the Cosmic Initiative that you got.
Go ahead.
Yeah, she's freezing out.
She just froze up. She doesn't have a good connection, I don't think. Let's see if I can help her out.
One thing, Tom, at the end of the day of praying about the election and our country and so forth, the Lord Gates told me this. He said, don't lean on your nation for your source.
Yes.
I am your source. And no matter the outcome of the election, I am with you.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I love that. Go ahead, Jane, and finish your thought. You got frozen up on us.
Okay. Am I unfrozen?
Yes.
No? Okay. Anyway, in it, he was talking about the children that have died very young. Prevenient grace, but he talked about the children that have been aborted, and he said they are in the kingdom, they are praising God, they are running around in the kingdom all this time, long before we get there. And it gave me a truly new picture of how God loves these babies that are aborted.
I believe you're right. God doesn't dismiss the dead.
Children that are praising God.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Jane. Someone else.
Well, I have a theory that it's not just abortion and gay rights and all that sort of thing. Our nation has decided that sin doesn't exist. We make mistakes, we goof, we got it wrong, we did everything but sin. And sin can be forgiven and dealt with, but mistakes and goofs and idiot behavior cannot.
I hear you.
We basically have dispensed with the fear of God.
That's right.
That's true.
I think that's true. Yeah. Someone else.
Even among Christians, we tend to, or at least I tend to not separate properly my spirit and my flesh. I allow, from time to time, I will allow the enemy to tell me that I'm not who I think I am in God, because look at what I just did or said.
Yeah.
And I think about Paul talking, he had to deal with the same issue in Romans 7.
Yeah.
You know, he's saying, the very thing I hate, I'm always doing. And the thing I want to do, I don't do. And I know, Tom, we had lunch one time and I talked about this, but I hadn't really shared it with anybody else at all. And that is that there is, if I can truly get through my thick head that there are three parts, spirit, soul, and body. And my flesh is separated from my spirit. They're different. I am a spirit. I live in a body and I have a soul. The soul being the will, intellect, and emotion. What happens is, and it goes back to what I saw in Colossians 3, when, if I can really hold on to that, that says that you have died, or you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that truly, if that is true in my life, and I go back to not understanding that exactly, and I have to say, okay, what does that mean? And what it means is that in a covenant, and I know I keep going back to covenant, but in a covenant, either the only covenants that we have now are a marriage and our covenant with Him, with our God. And in both cases, the two become one. We are one. We die to ourself and are alive to the covenant between ourself and our Lord, or between ourself and our spouse. So the two become one, and you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's the covenant with our Lord.
Amen.
And then when you go back to the place in Hebrews 9 that is very difficult to understand outside of the covenant, when it says that under the covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it.
Amen.
And I thought, okay, for a covenant is valid only when men are dead. For it is never in force while the one who made it lives to themselves, not to the union between ourselves and our Lord.
Yeah.
Right. And so when the enemy comes and says, well, the scripture says if you are truly saved, you can't sin. And I listened to the enemy and he says, well, look at what you just did. Look what you just said. And I don't go back to Romans 7 and say, well, wait a minute. There's a part of me that's flesh and it doesn't get a bit better.
And you know, the thing when you say that, the flesh never gets better. Never. I think one of the things that every one of us could bear testimony to is that when the old nature speaks, even though we may have matured in the faith and grown much more holy in a godly sense, in a humble sense, that old nature hasn't. It's just as evil as it always was.
That's right.
It doesn't get saved.
And we get beaten up. We get beaten up by the enemy because he would like for us to combine whenever the flesh does whatever. we call that us.
That's not. Amen.
We allow the Lord, we allow the enemy to say, that's you. And the Lord gives us our identity. The enemy doesn't.
Amen.
So it's a,
it's a good, it's reminder, a difficulty
for all Christians, I think, to realize that perfect love does cast out fear. And fear has to do with punishment. And there's not going to be any punishment. We are part of him. Our spirit man is sinless. Forgiven. Amen. We are already seated with him in the heavenlies.
Glory to God.
And we can tell the enemy, Kushmenadukas.
Yes. Next, who would like to share?
That wonderful.
I have
we can recognize when the flesh is taking over. God allows that, us to have those spirit eyes to recognize that and to run away from it.
Yes. So it isn't that it's difficult to recognize.
I don't believe it is.
Oh,
very obvious, isn't it? Yes, Carrie?
My comment is that you can't take the flesh out of this world. The only thing you can take out of this world is Christ formed in us. And those aren't my words, but somebody that was very strong in the Lord. Now think about that. The only thing you can take out of this world to heaven is Christ formed in us. Right. The old man doesn't get there.
Amen.
Can I read a scripture to you?
Yes.
This is from Romans 8, verses 9 to 11. You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you.
That's right.
Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he's not his. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you.
Amen.
So that's saying that the Holy Spirit can actually transform your flesh.
Well, that's called great salvation, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's why Paul said he subjected his flesh to the spirit.
That way the flesh cannot have dominion.
Right. So we don't need to let the flesh rule.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Says he can give it life.
And like Paul said, we don't have to buffet our body either.
Paul said that.
Well, it was 1 Corinthians 9:26, and I think it was pronounced Buffett, but I, you know, Buffett, whatever.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Praise God. I love that. Tom, go ahead.
Can I share in a message going on down Romans? It says, the resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is and we know who we are, father and children. We know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen. I forget that, but you know, I used to know a man who, I mean, he would, and I try to do this more myself, is when I wake up in the morning, what's going to happen today, Daddy? I mean, you have you kind of have an idea, but as I've gotten older, it's like, okay, I mean, these are the things that I think are going to happen, but I have no idea. I may be meeting somebody that you want me to talk to or say an encouraging word to or whatever, but he's in charge.
He really is. And each day is a new adventure.
It is. It's a new gift.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Someone else.
Well, I've been reading John. I've been going all the way through John. And I got to the high priestly prayer.
Oh.
And I don't know whether it applies. I guess it does apply. But I get cheery every time I read that. And I don't know. I just, every time I read that high priestly prayer, it's just wonderful.
And what do you think the words high priestly prayer mean? I agree with what you're saying, but he's the high priest and he's praying. What does a priest do?
Well, he's the mediator between you and God.
Makes intercession.
Yes. The high priest was the only one
Jesus
that could go into the temple and meet face to face with God.
Yeah.
But that does now.
Jesus is praying. You know, he's asking God to protect us and help us comfort us. All those wonderful things that we need in life. And it just overwhelms me every time I read it.
I sure understand that, Anna. I was looking at the first verse, you know, when he lifts his eyes to heaven and says, the hour's come, Father, glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee.
Yeah.
And as you're talking, Anne, how does he glorify the Son in this high priestly prayer?
Well, he glorifies the Son.
As thou has given him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life.
Right.
Do you realize how special we are?
We're the glory.
Ah.
He's given us eternal life.
Good question. Tell me.
He's given us eternal life through him.
That's right. That we might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You remember back in the 14th chapter of John, Jesus answers, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, it's a narrow gate that leads up. It's not wide. And so much of what I'm hearing in some churches today is what God is calling you to do is to come to a church meeting and be nice.
Yeah,
learn how to be nice.
Right.
And someone else said to me the other day, nice and bored.
Right.
Yeah. Nice and bored. But when you find the narrow way and you realize that God's calling you to become a disciple, you can't become a disciple by attending a church service once a week. You got 168 more hours throughout the week where we prove whether we're disciples or not.
Right. Yeah.
And you can't be a disciple unless you've been discipled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Someone else.
I think Jesus glorifies the Father by bringing all those people into that position of discipleship and eternal life. We are the glory that he sets before the Father because we carried out that commission and done what he's called to do. He's brought those the Father has selected into the kingdom.
I agree. That's why, again, now when I so pray the Lord's Prayer so many different ways now, but it's thy kingdom come.
Right.
Thy will be done. Where? In you and me. Can you imagine that? The kingdom, the reign and the rule of God comes through a guy like me.
Yes. He's got an old man who's a terrible man.
Yes.
But this terrible man is carrying around he who is eternal and glory forever.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
We have to make a deliberate choice to be like Jesus. A deliberate choice.
And how often?
Every second.
Right. Every day, every hour of the day. Anyone else? This is wonderful. This is the first time in 50 years when we come together, each one has his happen. I'm sitting here going, glory to God. What else? Julie, did you have something to share there?
Mine is more of a gentle conviction. And I've reorganized the garage and some closets. And so some days ago, I was getting deep into the corners and cleaning, and was just amazed at how many dead bodies I was finding. And yeah. Mostly they're the little roly-poly bugs and, and crickets and spiders. And you know, I was cleaning them up and saying, oh, I wonder, you know, did you know you were going to die? And do you have an expectation of how long you live? were you killed by a spider? Did you see it coming? And, you know, I was kind of playing with that. Went on. And the Lord's voice came to me and said, and you know, that's what you do sometimes with people, when you're asked to pray for someone that you don't particularly care about. You know, it's not your family, not your friends, but you know, like non-Christians or political situations. Oh, you're fascinated. You're intense for a minute, and then you go on your way. And I thought, you know, prayer needs to be persistent.
Yes.
Even for people I don't.
Well, what you're saying, Julie, is don't minimize it.
Exactly. That I don't always get to choose who I pray for. That, you know, when he leads me to pray or, you know, we're praying for Nancy Pelosi. We are praying for all these people. I shouldn't be the one who decides how long I pray or how. Mm-hmm. How earnestly I pray.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Julie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Each one has. Yes. Well, Brother Jim, I see you up there in the corner. Anything you would like to share?
You'll have to take your mute out first.
Oh, he's muted, yeah.
Oh.
Let's see if we can help. Mm-hmm. Let's see. There we go.
For weeks, I have been pressing the Lord about what I'm supposed to do next. I'm an old man, and I've done a lot of things in my life, but what am I supposed to do now? And I've gotten the same answer over and over again. Take care of your wife.
Oh.
That's what I'm doing.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Boy, I can relate to that.
Exactly.
Jim, last week I was praying, because when Barbara comes home, she's going to need 24-hour care. And I can't do it without the Lord and some help. Take care of your wife, son.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that, Jim. Because that's the same thing I've been hearing. Anybody else have anything you would like to share or say or pray? Because I want to. Yes.
Oh, it looks like Jerry, were you going to say something?
Go ahead.
You've asked us a couple of times in weeks past, and so I've been thinking about it, about what our reactions, what things we've been feeling from the Lord during this, you know, time of turmoil, the pandemic, the election thing, yes. You know, what kind of things. And so I've been, kind of thinking about that and whether or not I'm feeling, you know, something new or just, you know, what kind of emphasis I'm hearing from the Lord. And I find that I'm feeling more inclined to pray for different things. Yeah, different issues that I didn't in the past, and different people come to my mind. Sometimes I wake up in the night and people I haven't thought of for years come into my mind. And so I'm taking it as, well, then I should pray for these people, you know, and like as much as I can think of or know of to pray for them, just, you know, lift them to the Lord. And also, one of the things that I have noticed is going on in me is I feel more, let's see, what would be the word? Inclination, but, more of a sense of a need to give and all for different things that, that come my way that I become aware of, letters that come in the mail that usually I've just passed them right to the, you know, recycle bin. And all I look at them and I'm asking the Lord, you know, is this something that I need to give to? Your time seems to be shorter. Is this more important? I'm just giving more attention to these things and trying to be more liberal and erring on the, you know, side of generosity rather than on the side of, you know, caution or whatever. I find, you know, that the Lord is stirring things in me there that I didn't experience previously. You know, it's a new, a greater intensity of it maybe. But I do find that I do feel it's a different time and there is new momentum.
Right. I really hear that, Sherry.
The time is shorter. That's kind of the key.
Yeah. And so there's a greater sensitivity to that.
Right. And we're all feeling that he's coming soon and we're kind of changes your priorities.
Right.
Sure does.
Yeah. Of what needs to be done now.
I think staying, as Carrie mentioned earlier in our time today, it's always now. God is always now. It's not he will be or has been. He's now. He's the eternal now.
For such a time as this.
Yes.
That's where we all are.
Yeah. All right. We're all Esthers.
We're all Esthers.
Yes. We're all Esthers. That's a good way to say it.
I'd like to lift a whole group of people up in prayer. Last week, we had a friend, a retired pastor, die. He had Parkinson's, but he also had COVID and double pneumonia. He was there with his son. And no other family members were allowed. And right now, you know, Stan, his brother's wife is the only person allowed in that room. Mm-hmm. I just thought about multiply that by what number that all these people across probably the world, at least we know in the United States and in Oklahoma, that people, loved ones cannot watch their family. Be sick and get well or die. I would like to lift all those unknown people up who are grieving.
Do so. Let us join you. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, I ask you, Lord, that you know each one of the hearts that are sitting there holding a hand of a dying loved one or someone who is very ill and they have no one else to help them or comfort them. But we know that you
are there. Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we ask that for all these people who don't know you, please introduce yourself during this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. This pastor that we were talking about that passed away, his funeral is this Thursday. His wife is now at OSU Medical. She's got double pneumonia and COVID. She can't attend the funeral. her sons that were around her and him when he was dying can't attend the funeral, and his sons can't attend the funeral.
So there's going to be no members at this funeral.
Well, brothers and sisters, I thank you. As we, the next day we meet will be election day. I pray you'll all vote, and that you'll vote your faith. Yes. Father, I just thank you for brothers and sisters that have walked through so much in this world, who've experienced great, marvelous times with you, and times of disappointment, times of discouragement and pain. And yet you have constantly and continually and eternally will prove yourself faithful.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Faithful. You are our Lord and our God and our King. And we want to be part of you and your kingdom, Lord Jesus. Let your kingdom come into each and every one of us. By your Spirit, disciple us, Lord, and make us sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you for this time together. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And it'd be nice. It's nice to know. It's nice to know that the Lord has a plan. Yes. You know, a lot of times I'm wondering, like Jim, you know, I don't know what to do next. What do I do? I'm an old man. I don't even have a wife I can work with, you know, and I go back to Jeremiah 29:11, and he says, for I know the plans that I have for you, whatever they are, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope.
Amen. It's a good scripture.